Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School and the clinic director at the Premier Center in Santa Monica, where he treats many famous names in Hollywood under nationally recognized Premier Labs owner and CEO Dr. Robert Marshall. Got a health question? Ask Dr. Medici live today on Straight Talk on Health. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning. I am raring to go this morning. You're probably out exercising. Remember, you can always hear the show on the archives, but this is the show you got to put your thinking cap on. I wanted to get this to you all along. This was my plot underneath 51 shows now, is this show. Because this is about all of you, and it's not about any one of you. Meaning, it's not about a disease. It's about your perspective on healing. It's about getting you out of that ridiculous model where each and every day you focus on your symptom. Or if you're in relationship with your doctors, you come into your doctors, your holistic practitioners, and you start writing and talking about your symptoms, right? For some of you, this is going to work. For many of you, I might even say for most of you, this is not going to work. What's going to work is if we can get you to a different perspective. So over 20 years for me, consistently asking myself, why did this person heal? What did I do? What did they do? What didn't I do? What don't I know? What do I know? What they didn't they bring? After 2 decades of that, I think I can give you a coherent model today. And if this is the first time you've heard the show, listen to the other shows, because you're going to need the other shows to get a perspective here. But this is particularly designed, this show, for the person who's tried the simple herb approach. You know you've got burning when you urinate, so you take something to help your bladder, some herb, some herbal combination, and it's been a month or two and it doesn't work, and now it's 20 years later. We have tons of people like this floating out there. Tons of people living in agony. I do mean agony. I do mean I've been around long enough, knock on wood, to see them go to their grave, unfortunately, sometimes. Not happy people. A life worth living is challenged when people get up each day in debilitating pain. And lots of people perish because they don't have the knowledge. You see, the faith thing is exciting. You know, do you have the faith? All the focus goes on the faith. But sometimes it's the knowledge. Sometimes you need to inject yourself with the knowledge to stimulate your faith. It's not one or the other. It's both in reciprocity with each other. You see, to guide you through that long, dark, and stormy decade of anguish or consistent pain, sleepless nights, you need some knowledge to stick on the ribs of your faith. But we're not getting that perspective. I'm going to be not arrogant, but emphatic, passionate about the fact that you're not getting the right perspective. That is why many of you were unnecessarily failing. That's why I started the school, to give you the perspective. Some people come and profit, and some people, they can't find the time. They would not, in a sense, rather live in their agony, but they just don't get what they're missing. We always want the quick fix. You see, healing is not a journey. Healing is not a opportunity to resurrect. Healing is some unfortunate detour. And if you think that, you're in a lot of trouble. If you think your sickness is a detour, an unfortunate detour, proof of the fact that God passed over you, that God does not love you, that you deserve to suffer, that you did something wrong, and you're paying for your sins, please think again. The only sin is the ignorance you live in if you think that. So what's the perspective? What's the functional perspective? Well, the first thing I want to do is start you off at your medical doctor in the hospital. where you go initially, or the little office associated with the hospital for whatever you might have, fibromyalgia, back pain, disc herniations, IBS, headaches, tinnitus, bipolar disorder, ovarian cysts, fibroids, congestive heart failures, chronic infections, diabetes, Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's, you name it. Thousands and thousands and thousands of different diagnoses each day end up in a doctor's office looking at a doctor who simply does the equivalent of this. Try this one on for size. You walk in and you tell your doctor your muscles hurt, and they hurt all over. And they've hurt all over for years. Your muscles, tremendous muscular pain. And your doctor looks at you, at first skeptically, because you might be a malingerer. This might be related to some workman's comp, some sort of a excuse not to live in the world. And after that skepticism subsides, because you really are in pain, the doctor still doesn't believe it, and he doesn't believe it because he can't find the cause. There is no diagnosis for the muscular pain you swear you have. And so he goes into a room, and he calls his friend, and he does a Google search. Yes, he does. And then he comes back, and he smiles, and the light is upon him, and he says, Mrs. Smith, you have fibromyalgia, which is just another word, and this is my point, for the same thing you told him when you walked in. You walk into a doctor, you tell him your head hurts, and 20 minutes later, you pay to have him tell you you have a headache. How about irritable bowel syndrome? I did that one last week. I hope you listen to that one. You walk in after 10 years of alternate constipation and diarrhea, debilitating. I had a 40-year-old in the office this week. Hasn't worked in 6 years. Can't get out of the house. Nonstop. Diarrhea, constipation, pain, back to constipation, diarrhea, trying to understand their process and being told with those symptoms that they have an irritable bowel. Is that what we've evolved medicine to? These are called diagnoses of exclusion. That means we don't know what it is. We don't know what causes it. So let's describe it with a stupid name, a technical name, a bunch of four-letter words, a bunch of 12-letter words. Let's make it sound nifty and hope that that'll just suffice. Now that we've identified it. No, you haven't. You've taken your medical jargon, you've taken the medical vernacular, and you've simply turned it into some highfalutin word that you spit back to your customer, your client, your patient, and we're supposed to relax behind that. And you walk out. I have fibromyalgia. I have irritable bowel syndrome. You wear that seal of approval. 5 years later, you're not happy about it because you got a diagnosis of exclusion. It's not functional. It doesn't tell you really what to do, and it doesn't really tell you what causes it. What really causes fibromyalgia, back pain, IBS, headaches, bipolar disorders, ovarian cysts, fibroids, congestive heart failures, diabetes, chronic infections, bipolar disorders, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, cancers. Now, if you look at all of these, each and every person, if you take, I can do that, you can't. That's why you have to listen. If you take the percentage of people who come in with debilitating problems assorted. So this is you, because you've either got a symptom or you've got a disease. You've either lost time at work or you're debilitated. No matter what, this is you, because you have been given a diagnosis that didn't do you any good. And if you look at all the people like that, that come in and engage health, engage the high art of healing, and you look at what they've done in some combination. Now write that word down and underline it. Some combination, some ratio of four causes that created their illness. Four causes. These are the only four. These cover everything. if you, after I say this, don't think that what I'm about to tell you covers everything, then you didn't understand what I was saying. Believe me, I understand what I'm saying. And if you think this doesn't cover everything, then you need to listen to the other 50 shows and get hip to what I'm talking about. I don't care who you are, what you've got, how long you've got it. It's a combination of your psyche, your psycho-emotional you. It's a combination of your biomechanical you. But I have to explain what that means. Biomechanical you. Functionally, that's your flexibility level, but it's bigger than that. So your psyche, your psycho-emotional you, your biomechanics, meaning how do the bones align? How do the organs live spatially in respect to each other? Your biochemistry, your blood chemistry. That's right. That's your nutrition. Your excesses nutritionally, meaning the poisons you need to remove, and your deficiency, meaning what you're not getting in your foods. And last but not least, your physical scars from your physical traumas. Patented under my seal, we call this the rule of four. One of those four variables, all of those four variables, some combination of those four variables, and some unfolding into your consciousness of those four variables through action is your cure. That's your cure. And the art is for your doctor to read those variables. Some of you are nauseous. Some of you are confused. Some of you are laughing. Some of you are crying. All of you have just heard me tell you your journey is defined by addressing in some intelligent way those four variables. It means if you're sitting there with a cancer, with Parkinson's, with congestive heart failure, if you have disease or just symptom, or you just want to get healthier, your body, your light force, your life force is about varying those four variables: your psyche, your blood, your flexibility levels, and removing physical scars from physical traumas, which is number four. Scars, psyche, blood chemistry, and biomechanics. Now, what does that mean? Let's define that. Let's get into that. I hope I don't have to harp on nutrition. You all understand that nutrition is part of your symptom. Of course you do. It's why you listen to radio shows. But an unbelievable, a frightening number of you have no concept of biomechanics. None. You understand exercise, but you don't understand how structure determines function. This week, each of you listening to this show will make 10 people listen to this show. If you care about your friends, about your family, and you are not telling them to listen to this show today, there is something really wrong with my message to you. It's inconceivable to me you wouldn't bring 10 sick people to this show because they're drinking the Kool-Aid if they haven't understood this, because this is how, when you watch people heal, I'm not talking about swallow an herb and say, I feel better. I'm not talking about getting a massage and say, I feel better. I'm not talking about exercising and dropping a little weight and saying, this makes a difference. I'm talking about cure. C-U-R-E, cure. Boldface print, exclamation point, and stamped and sealed. Cure. When you look at people that do cure, when they're in the hole and they're going to give up, and a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years later, they're out there running marathons. I'm talking about that. That is a combination of one of those four variables, all of those four variables. Blood chemistry, biomechanics, psyche, and scars. Let's make that more three-dimensional now. Let's make that more three-dimensional. Now, I'm going to use a bunch of cases. So you're going to learn this through case study. And over the next few years, we'll turn this into a reality show. Because that's the reality show that rocks. The ones where you get right inside people as they make choices for life. That's exciting. That's exciting to me. It's why I do this. I do have other things to do. But I can't abide by the fact that every single day I feel like I'm carrying a log up a hill. Because you don't get the model, and that's our fault. So it's not your fault. It's only your fault if you listen and you don't listen. So we're going to talk about actual cases, and I'm going to make up names. These are not the names of these people. I may have seen them 20 years ago. But I'm going to make it real. And trust me, they are real. So we're going to talk about Joe. Joe passed away. Joe was a handsome man. Joe was young. He was only 42. And Joe had a secret. And that secret that he only told me and a few others and his medical doctor is that he had seizures. One day, Joe, who was a very well-known singer, in fact, Joe was famous. He truly was famous. Joe had become a millionaire at 38 years old. Joe had lots of dough. And he didn't really have to work. But he had these seizures, and when he had them, he went down. And Joe couldn't drive. But fortunately, Joe made enough dough so that Joe could be driven around in a limousine all week long. And so that's how Joe did it. And then for a little while, Joe, because this was not epilepsy, Joe got off his meds. He did that with his doctor's approval. Joe had one quirk. Actually, Joe had a lot of quirks. Joe grew up in an extremely intense, extremely sort of like Baptist Christian upbringing. Joe knew. Joe was from the South, not South L.A., Georgia. Joe knew what it was to hear a fire and brimstone sermon on Sunday because Joe's dad was a reverend. And Joe's oldest brother was broken. Daddy broke his son. God, the devil, whatever it was. Broke his older brother. His brother had a nervous breakdown and, God bless him, just lived. Couldn't work. Joe's sister got away from the house early. Joe was the strong one. Joe could handle it. Joe had that great big soul burning through those beautiful blue eyes. And Joe had this problem with women. Because every time he had some level of intimacy, he began to sweat profusely and shake as if he had committed some sort of a sin. Now, this is a famous musician. This is a guy making albums. This is a guy with all sorts of females around him. This is a guy that passes away at 42. This is a guy you wouldn't think, because Joe's smart. Joe's IQ is 150. School was easy. So he knew how to cover it up. But not to me. Because I'm a doctor. I'm a detective. I'm Sherlock Holmes. Try fooling my fat head. Go ahead. It's not going to work. So Joe and I developed a wonderful professional relationship. And Joe said to me, I need to get on the other side of this, not to mention the seizures, which at the time he was medicated for. But time passed, and Joe and his MD stopped the meds because this wasn't epilepsy. The MD felt comfortable getting him off the meds. But you see, at night, when Joe was trying to work these problems out in his mind in the dream state. What are you dreaming about every night? Having nightmares? Anxieties? Heart palpitations? Are you listening to those dreams? Is that even relevant? Is a dream a part of you? Or is it just something that happens? Well, Joe dreamed at night. And when Joe dreamed, he clenched his teeth hard. Really hard. And then the worst thing happened. To this big, handsome guy from a Baptist upbringing with his great big soul, clenching his great big teeth, anxiety-ridden over his intimacies, the worst happened. Joe began to go bald. That's right. As Joe approached his upper 30s, he started losing his hair. Now, this is not a good thing for a musician. Men will tell you it's not a good thing for anybody. But Joe didn't have one of those heads that could do well bald. Anyone that's bald or shaved, that's got a good head for it, well, they can strut around sort of proud of it. But some guys have eggheads. Some guys have flatheads. Some guys have heads that don't work bald. Joe had one of those heads. And so Joe spent good money at the Bosley Transplant Center. Joe had these transplants. Beautiful transplants. If you didn't know Joe was bald or going bald, you couldn't tell. I mean, this guy's got his transplants down. Except there's one big problem with transplants. They're scarring the head. They scar the head. Scars, rule of four. Psycho-emotional problems, rule of four. Now add to that Joe's masculine physique. Joe was an athlete. I told you, Joe was one of those guys that everybody wants to be. Joe had this masculine physique. You know, he didn't gain weight, but he had muscle. He wasn't puffy. He was lanky. His tendons were strong. Joe was an athlete. Sports were easy for Joe. Except one thing. Joe wasn't flexible. He wasn't flexible. Who's not flexible out there? Anybody? Anybody have flexibility issues? Flexibility issues mean something. We're going to explain that. But here's Joe coming to me, concerned about staying on meds, concerned about his seizures, concerned about the effect of his inner tensions on his health. Joe was prone to anxiety. Joe was obsessive compulsive. Joe had stuff spinning around in his psyche that he didn't want to affect his health. Joe had a lot of muscular tension. Now, you can isolate each and every one of Joe's symptoms. Joe can go to one doctor for his seizures. Joe can go to another doctor for his hair loss. Joe can go to a dentist for the fact that he clenches. Joe can go somewhere else to the fact that he had muscular pain and a lot of backache. Joe can go somewhere else because he's having heart palpitations and night sweats and anxiety attacks. Joe can take apart his body symptom by symptom by symptom by symptom. And yet, and this is the point, Joe is a combination of those variables. Some combination of biomechanics, meaning flexibility. Flexibility is what you think you do before you play football or basketball or baseball or boxing or martial arts or volleyball or track. It's that stupid little thing you do in the beginning and that stupid little thing you do at the end that you don't really want to do, that men don't do because only girls do it, like cheerleaders. Wrong. Dumb. I've earned the right to say, if you think that way, that's dumb. You're not dumb. You're thinking stupid. Because flexibility, if you really carry flexibility to the next level, becomes an opportunity for your organ systems to pull the fascial lines apart. If I need to explain what the fascial lines are, turn off the show, please. At this point, I shouldn't have to do that. No, just kidding. the connective tissue between your organs, like cellophane, fascia. Listen to the musculoskeletal shows on the archives. The fascia, the cellophane, is wrapping organ to organ, organ to the spine, organ to muscles. Organs are relating to other body parts, bones, muscles, via this cellophane-like network of connective tissue called fascia. When you get a surgery, when they cut it out, they tear up your fascia to get to the organ. Very artfully, I must admit. Because through the fascia, what's the number one thing the surgeon must not do when he cuts towards an organ, as he cuts through the fascia? He must not cut through this white tube running through the fascia that contains the blood supply, the nerve supply, the lymph supply, and the venous drainage port. They're in a tube, like a big fat wire, in between the spider web of fascia. If a surgeon, as he cuts through the fascia, cuts that, you have a lawsuit. You have a botched surgery. You have a very scared surgeon. Surgery's not that complicated, I assure you. Yeah, I'm going to tell you that. Terrible statement. You need to know how to cut, where to cut, why to cut. And you need to know the anatomy three-dimensionally so that you can just peel away with your little robot tool all that connective tissue, making sure you don't hit the vein, the artery, the nerve, and the lymph supply. After you ligate or cauterize off the arteries so they don't bleed. After you anesthetize so it doesn't hurt. And when they do this, they cut through this connective tissue. Watch a surgery. Go to the web, get on there, watch any surgery. You're going to see them cut through all this white gooey stuff. That fascia, if you don't stretch, congeals, it contracts, it concentrates and chokes your organ systems. Your organs don't live in the abdominal cavity in the correct spatial orientation. So the herb you put in doesn't get there. The toxin you drain doesn't get there. The nerve supply is depleted, and the lymph is useless, increasingly, as the fascial tensions increase. And if you get physically scarred, meaning someone has sliced you before, or you've torn up in surgeries or physical traumas, where the bones weren't broken, but the muscular system was just contused, all this fascia cringes just as bad. Now, the idea is when you stretch it out, you finally get to the place where the fascia begins to unwind and the organs start to arrange in space correctly. The organ comes to life. The organ starts to breathe. And look at you. You're just looking for that capsule to pop, aren't you? You're all proud of yourself because you don't do pharmaceuticals. Well, sometimes you should be proud of yourself because you don't do pharmaceuticals. But you've got to get a deeper grip on this because you are going nowhere if you don't hear what I'm saying. Truly, you are going nowhere. Joe was going nowhere. Joe was going to an early grave. I got hundreds of people like this. You are definitely one of them. This is everywhere. The relationship between the cure of your symptom or your disease is integrally related to your ability to stretch your body and get flexible. And I am explaining to you why. So, Joe started stretching. And he kept stretching, and he kept feeling better and better. And one day, Joe, on the table, with his stretch therapist, with his massage therapist, started getting very angry. Joe started to slam his fists on the massage table. Joe started to shoot saliva out his mouth. Joe started to scream. Joe started to look a little funny. Joe started to look a little bit nuts. Joe wasn't nuts. What Joe was doing is bringing up his emotions. Emotions, you say? What could emotions have to do with seizures? What could emotions have to do with neck pain? What possibly could someone growing up in fire and brimstone theologies possibly resent as an adult when he couldn't maintain proper function with a female in his teens, in his 20s, in his 30s without feeling anxiety-ridden? What could he possibly be about? But don't listen to the show, because this possibly couldn't have anything to do with you. You haven't suffered like Joe. None of you have. Certainly not the medical doctor Joe saw and whose care he was under. Emotions contribute to seizures. Where's the research? Where are the books that have proven that? Where are the scientists that would stock up and fill Dodger Stadium attesting to the validity of the statement? Where is our common sense? Where is God within us? Is God and common sense to be kept out of the scientific model? That is what's at stake. And you know from your experience, in the end, your snooter, your internal poop detector, is really what guides you in all your choices. Not what your lawyer says, not what your doctor says, not what your radio host says, not what your reverend says, not what anybody says. In the end, it's you and your connection to truth. And if you study the evolution of medicine, the evolution of science, the evolution of anything, anyone that comes up with anything that's on the creative edge is told, number one, by his colleagues, that he is a certifiable jackass, lunatic, or criminal. That's why we don't have studies done on this. That's why. People that know things feel when they spend their time doing studies, they have to waste their time proving what they already know is true. What an incredible rationalization for somebody that doesn't want to face the fact that his perspectives are ludicrous. That's just a dumb rationalization. No, it's not. It's the truth. Why would someone want to spend a year or two proving to people who want to argue what they already know is true through experience? The smart way, the quick way, the intelligent way is to gain momentum in the public sector. And you are the public. That's why you tell your friends about this show. You get them to listen. I archive it. If you don't have the time, that's a bad excuse. That's why I archive it. Otherwise, I wouldn't archive it. So these shows are archived so you can get the word out. So do it. I'm not paying marketers. I hate talking to marketers. I hate marketing. I hate it. It's garbage. It's your job. I'm working for you. You're working for me. You don't support me, I don't care. I'll just keep talking. This is fun. It's fun to talk to 5 or 10,000 people and try to plant a seed in their cranium. It sure beats it over the 101 routine, just me and you, into the late hours of the night. And sometimes you're as dense as a brick. This is a smarter way to go. I went that way with Joe. We went a long way. Joe stretched. Joe started to feel his anger. His therapist, massage therapist, his psychotherapist called this guy Medici and said, "What gives? We're breaking it open. Joe's stuff is coming to the surface." And do you think Joe would talk to me about God? Joe was always talking about God. How do you get raised Baptist and not talk about God? His perception of spirituality, of God, of Jesus evolved. It evolved. So what's the model? What's the perspective? Joe and Joe's cure. Joe's journey. Joe's process. You see? Was about altering his levels of flexibility to pull the tensions apart in the muscles, to bring up his brain, his psyche. Because Joe was strong, and Joe was smart, and Joe was male. Joe had a strong mind. You weren't going to tell Joe where things were at. Joe was a handful, because Joe was smarter than you. And that's tough when your patient or your client or whatever you want to call it is smarter than the therapist. The therapist is going to drown. Joe would cut you up and break you down and tell you who you were to you 15 minutes into it. So just to get Joe's attention, just to qualify, you had to know how to dance. But we got there. And Joe's psyche began to come up. And as the psyche began to come up, the liver and gallbladder flushes that he was doing started to work. He started to flow bile. The bile started to move out of his body. He had been doing flushes all along, herbs all along. And if you said to Joe, "Joe, did you feel that herb? Did you feel this herb? Did you feel that cleanse? Did you?" Joe would say, "No, not really." Joe was numb. And now Joe was coming to life. And now the bile was starting to flow. And now Joe was starting to feel the heat, the electrical field, the opening of the meridian. No, that's a bad thing. That's a bad thing to feel that electrical charge through your nervous system. It's an evil thing. Turn off the radio. The body's not an electrical field. It's not designed to flow with heat and pleasure. Pleasure's a bad thing. So went the fire and brimstone speech going on in Joe's head. He hated that feeling. But he didn't like to live in anxiety and heart palpitations, but he hated that feeling. That feeling was bad. That feeling, Joe, was pleasure. Pleasure in his body? That's a bad thing. They gave Joe the Kool-Aid to drink. Have they ever given you the Kool-Aid to drink? Do you have a relationship with your body? Is your body beautiful? Does it feel good when you touch it? Does it feel good when somebody else's touches? Does it feel too good and make you uncomfortable? Is that a sin? What is your relationship with your body? Get one. Because if you don't have one, you are going to get down. I have paid enough dues to tell you that. And you are not going to dig yourself out of the complicated predicament you may find yourself in. I kid you not. So Joe started to enjoy that feeling in his body. One day, Joe went to a dentist. And the dentist gave Joe a night guard. Joe didn't tell me. I never would have let Joe do that. Joe put a night guard in his mouth. I hope some of you understand where I'm going. I know some of you have no clue. When you put a night guard in your mouth, you lock up your cranial bones. This dentist innocently, unknowingly, took a guy that was coming to life and put a chain around his brain. And even though Joe was medicated, even though Joe was healthy, getting healthy, that night guard clamped down upon his teeth, locked his maxilla, locked his ethmoid bone, locked his sphenoid bone, torqued that brain, torqued it, twisted it, as he clenched, coming to critical mass in a healing. Some innocent dummy put a chain around his brain. And that was the end of Joe. Joe left. Joe's with God. That's Joe's story. That's the rule of four. That's a functional model. I told you that one. I got lots of others. Lots of those people are still here and healthy. In the end, I tell this story because in the end, it's still in God's hands. God still calls it. But then there's Mary. Mary's got debilitating PMS. And she can't have babies. And when she has her period, Mary passes out. Mary doesn't work. Is that you? Anybody want to bet me, just like Joe, to improve this, to get on the other side of it, to, in this case, heal it? And yes, she did. Just like Jane, just like John, just like Judy, Puff, and Spot. Lots of people can heal. Through altering, just like Joe is altering, some combination of their flexibility, of their blood chemistry, of their psyche, and of their scars. And here's Mary, all 6 feet of her. Big woman. Beautiful woman. Athletic woman. With two kids. And she can't birth the third. She wants four kids. And she just can't get there. And she can't hang on to the fact that, or she can't appreciate the fact that she's already had two. Because she wants 4 to 5. And this great big woman who used to be an athlete presents. Now, she's already done the in vitro. She's already played around with the chemicals. Like most, you don't see these cases until what? They've exhausted the classic methods in allopathy. And so there she is, big and strong, but anemic and depressed. And 3 days out of every month, this Amazon of a woman, this ex-athlete, is on the floor. Now, where do you go with that? Well, in this case, the first thing we pointed out to her is that she was a Viking. Mary was a Viking. We have people in the population who are Vikings. They're really out of time and out of space. They're really living in the wrong century. Bizarre, huh? Some sort of a fantasy. Anybody want to bet me 10% of this audience today fits the description of people living out of time? In other words, Mary retained a respect. Mary retained a connection to a world when the world was more pure. In case you haven't noticed, the ecosystem was purer 500 to 1,000 years ago. I believe it was. I believe anyone arguing that would be considered ludicrous. So I can say to you that the earth was cleaner 1,000 years ago, and you must agree. If I can say that, and you must agree, even in your conservative, ultra-conservative perception, and you agree to that, then you must agree to the possibility that through the genetics, through the memory in the genes, some people have a stronger association to the fertile ecosystem we once were, and hopefully will return to be. So you're already trapped, if you disagree. But we're going to assume you get it. So I tell Mary that the big problem with fertility and debilitating PMS is that Mary's a Viking. And that her last name, which was a Sen or a Sven, you know, S-E-N is Norwegian, S-O-N is Swedish, and who knows what Finland is? Okay. So I said, Mary, you're a Viking. And now you're raising two kids and working in an office. And you're not moving your body. Your genes are designed to connect you to the earth through motion. So the first step in this rule of four is to hit their psyche. In this case, not in Joe's case, you couldn't talk to Joe about his psyche until he started flowing his bile. Are you getting it? You couldn't talk to Joe about his psyche, not really, until he started moving his bile. You had to understand it and what it, the combination of variables decked out as, laid out as, but you couldn't address his psyche until he moved his blood. With Mary, you could address it immediately. If you didn't, you lost her. Now look at the difference. One person comes in, it's four variables, but you hit psyche last. Another person comes in, it's four variables, but you hit psyche first. And if you don't pick right, if you don't do it right, if you don't see it right, then they don't respond because you can't talk to their soul. The soul knows the truth. The soul knows the truth. It must be in one of the testaments, old or new, exactly like that. The soul knows all. And if you don't connect to the soul, then you're not doing your job as a doctor. No, they didn't ask you that question on your interview to medical school. That's why you go to these doctors and they talk to you like they're clones. Any of you have MDs in the family? Well, tell them I said this. Tell them that they're innocent. Tell them that they need to be forgiven. Tell them that we understand they're trapped in a model that needs to change. Because they're good people. They're family people. They're loving people. But they drank the Kool-Aid. You see, they thought they were pleasing mommy and daddy. They thought they were entering into a world of prosperity and goodness. And all they're doing is asking people to drink Kool-Aid. Well, that's not all they're doing. But too often, they're not giving you the perspective because they have taken the soul out of the healing. And there's lots of MDs that are thinking like me. They're out there. They write, they publish. But it's not in the hospitals. It's not in the standard of care. We're living in this discontinuity between what we know to be the truth. Even the MDs know that it's the truth. And yet how you're functioning each day on your trip to your doctor for your physical exam. It is a gross injustice and you need to change it. So if you listen to this show and you don't tell 10 people to listen to it this week, I'm going to tell you this straight from my soul. Shame on you. What are you doing? Are you so obsessed with your own problems? So there's Mary, and she's been told she's a Viking. And she likes it. And she's been told that the whole mistake is trying to fit that 6 foot, 170-pound body into the shoes of a ballerina, and that's absurd. Because big is beautiful. And she likes it. And then, of course, I find out that Mary is vegetarian. And you know how I feel about that. And then I find out that Mary is an O blood. And you know how I feel about that. And if you don't, listen to the shows. Mary's a carboholic. Why? Because she's stuffing that 6 foot Amazonian Viking frame into ballerina shoes. And meat is aversive to her. She has an aversion towards meat because she has an aversion towards aggression. Whoa. She's living to deny the fact that it's okay to be carnivorous, that it's okay to be a Viking, that it's okay to be a woman and speak out, that it's okay to be a woman with big feet, that big can be beautiful. She drank the Kool-Aid. She's living thinking that somehow her 6 foot Amazonian body that served her so well through two births and a history in athletics that was admirable is really just an anorexic ballerina's body, and that nobody sees the parody. So she doesn't eat meat, and therefore she only eats carbs and salads and doesn't really eat. But she's still big because the insulin is spiking in the blood and putting on the fat. That's what happens to O bloods. This, of course, compounds the problem. So Mary is blood deficient. and blood deficiency will create stasis of blood. Stasis. And stasis of blood will tax the liver. And internalization and not connecting to the body will tax the liver. It will stress the liver. And once it stresses the liver, you don't conjugate your estrogen. And she has tons of estrogen, even though she's a vegan. She's so powerful hormonally, she has tons of estrogen. But the estrogen doesn't conjugate, meaning get pulled out of circulation and disseminated through the liver and out the bile ducts and into the toilet. But you can't even talk to her if you don't point out that it's okay to be a Viking. She has to cherish the fact that she's an Amazon. So that's where we started. So she comes to her nutritionist for a supplement or two and some counsel about which choice to make with what supplement. And this maniac tells her she's a Viking and that she's an Amazon. And you should put that on film when you want to see the truth strike the soul of a patient. You should see what that looks like. It's happening to you right now if you're listening. It feels like that. Some inner intelligence tells you green light to what this maniac is saying. So she starts to comply. She starts to move her body. She starts to eat the meat. She starts to cleanse the gallbladder. And voila, within 6 weeks, she stops having bad periods. Her PMS is gone in 6 weeks. And in 1 year, she's pregnant. And Mary's got number three. In the end, guess what? God does the healing. Sometimes you lose, sometimes you win. The fight's the fight. Don't care about which way it goes. In the end, you have to give it up to God. Talk, 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 talk. You're going to lose some hair. You're going to get some gray. You're going to show some scars before you understand what I just said. Those of you who have, I applaud you. And those of you who are still innocent, I advise you. And those of you who are contemptuous, I don't care. I really do not care. You are not going to stop me. Do we have time for one more? 6 minutes to blast off. All right, I'll do an endorsement. 310-320-1132. 310-320-1132. Want you to call Clem Alita. Want you to give her a call. Sign up for the school. I dropped my second class. I didn't like the class. I'm selective. So that second class, you guys are too much work. I don't want to work that hard. I want people who are open already. I don't want to fight. I want to enhance what you already know is true. So if you were in that second class, I just disbanded it last week. Those of you in that class, I'm going to take and put in another class because I have plans for some of you. Yes, I'm selective. I am. Do you want to sit in class with somebody that doesn't want to listen? That just wants to come for the simple sake, okay, of festering? I don't want to work that hard. Neither do you. 310-320-1132. I've got 20 for another class. I want to bring it to 30. If this show hit you, because this show is a better expression of anything I've done in 52 shows, I want you in that class. Because it will deliver to you a deeper functional understanding of how you're supposed to navigate through your health. All right, lupus. Jean has lupus. Her name is Jean. Jean had an accident emotionally as a child when she lost her father in a bad accident. And nobody ever told her that, well, I haven't seen a lupus case yet. that wasn't related to a severe trauma emotionally. Haven't seen one yet. But you see, Gene is very willful. She has tremendous strength coming from the liver. And when somebody with a strong liver, what's a strong liver? Strong liver is somebody with great will, force, discipline, ambition, intelligence. They move like snakes through the grass. And when you insult them, when you injure them, when you betray them, they get angry. They don't get sad. They don't get afraid. They get rageful. And that rage polymerized the liver. It turned the liver to a mass of dark purple blood. There are medicines out there that understand what I just said. And once the liver turned to a mass of dark purple blood, you're going to create an inflammatory reflex into all the organ systems. An inflammatory reflex into all the organ systems. They're going to be filled with black blood. Black blood that at the root is psyche. But you're not going to tell that to Gene, because Gene wants to fight. And so we fought. To the point where I told her and her husband, get out of the office. You have to leave. Go let somebody else do this job. I'm working too hard. And so Jean started to cry. And her husband got embarrassed. And I said to him, you live with this rage. You tell me I'm wrong when I tell you that this rage needs to die. That was 5 sessions into it. 15 sessions into it, Jean had lost a ton of weight. She needed to. Gene had lost a ton of weight. Gene began to get flexible. Gene began to reduce her pain. The color in her face began to change. And I think we're going to have to continue the story of Gene next week. 310-320-1132. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Tell your friends, or shame on you. Have a good week.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. And the best part? You can call in live with your health questions every week. For those of you still holding for Dr. Medici, stay on hold. He'll continue to answer calls for as long as it takes. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. And remember, to contact his office for an appointment, call Rachel or Johanna at 310-320-1132. That's 310-320-1132. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.